The Church, in her wisdom, sets out weekly readings from the Gospels. These readings allow us to follow the life and teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ and the story of our salvation. Upper Room Media presents to you the weekly Sunday homily delivered from Sydney, Australia.
In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. So we have a Gospel today, and sometimes you find in the Bible things that don't make much sense, that go against almost everything else we've ever read in the Bible. And here we see something that goes against the basic Christian teaching of the Bible, that everything is forgivable. St. Peter once went up to Jesus and said, "Lord, how many times should my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Seven times a day?" And Jesus said, "No, not seven times a day, seven times 70. So as many times as you can, you forgive. And Christ forgave us for everything, so how come now, in this passage, he says there is certain sins that will never be forgiven?" And there are these passages in the Bible that don't seem to make much sense, that go against what we know of Christianity and who Christ is. And not just in the Gospel. In the Gospel we have this one that says, if you sin against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven you. And St. Paul in Hebrews says, it is impossible for those who have been enlightened, who have tasted the good word of God, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance. That goes against everything we believe, right? We've all been enlightened. We've all tasted the good word of God. If we fall away, is it impossible to renew us again to repentance? And St. John says in one of his epistles, he says, if anyone sees his brother sinning, a sin not leading to death, he will ask him life and he will give him life for those who sin not leading to death. Then he says, there is sin leading to death. I don't say he should pray about that, but there's sin leading to death. What do all of these things mean? And you know, people over the years have tried to interpret these things because it sort of seems a bit counterintuitive to what is contained in the rest of the Bible. And certainly in the Western Church, in the Catholic Church, they came up with a system of mortal sins and venial sins. So the venial sins are kind of like, you know, I just was a little bit selfish, or I just did something silly. And those are venial sins. But then you've got the mortal sins. You know, and in the Catholic Church, you've got those seven deadly sins. Anyone seen the movie Seven from the 90s? It's an old movie from the 90s. It had Morgan Freeman and Brad Pitt. It's quite gruesome. Don't watch it with your children. But it's about seven deadly sins and a serial killer who basically goes around and kills people in accordance with the seven deadly sins. And that was the Catholic or the Western Church's understanding. There were certain sins like lust, greed. They categorized sins across seven of them, and these were the bad ones. That if you did these sins, it required a certain level of penance. But in our church, this understanding of sins never existed. We never had a category of seven deadly sins or anything like that. Because if you look at the definition of sin itself, the definition of sin, if you go back to the original translation, it means to miss the mark. I've missed the mark. I was shooting for something and I missed it. And we ask ourselves in the Orthodox Church, what is the mark? Well, the mark is a life lived in God, a life lived for God. And by this definition, if you live righteously your whole life, selfless, really, not doing anything wrong, but completely ignorant of Christ and what he's done for you, then this is a horribly sinful life. Because you've missed the mark. You've missed it completely. You've lived your life here as though you were to be here to make good things for yourselves, to be a good person or whatever, and you've missed the mark completely. That's not what we're called to do at all. We're called to live a life in God and for God. And so what's the difference between a person who lives their life purely on earth, who lives their life, you know, selflessly, or a person who lives their life selfishly? Well, a selfish person may cause damage to the people around them, but when you consider that this life that we have, 80 years, if you do 80 on infinity, it is not even a number. is not even a drop in the ocean. And if you think about all of eternity, big deal. You live your life selfishly on earth here for 80 years and you're dead for all eternity. What difference does it make? For both of these people, even if one lives good and one lives a completely horrid life, their life is completely meaningless and they have completely missed the mark, both of them. And so everything that stops us from this purpose, from living a life in God and for God, is a grievous sin. It's a mortal sin. Mortally missed the mark. And if I have this thought that I'm a good person, like these Pharisees who blasphemed against the Holy Spirit, that I'm a good person, I don't need church, I don't need confession, I don't need God, this is a grievous sin. The excuses that I make for myself, I don't have time for God right now, I have too much on my plate, you will understand. This is a grievous sin. It's a mortal sin. And the interesting thing is every time they are talking about people who are unforgiven or who will never be forgiven, they never talk about people outside the church. It is always people within the church. Jesus was talking about the Pharisees who were the priests. St. Paul was talking about people who have been enlightened. So when they talk about the unforgivable sin, it applies to us. It applies to us. Whenever we live a life that is unrepentant, we live a life not for God, then we are sinning a sin that can never be forgiven. You can never be forgiven for ignoring God. Because if you ignore Him, you never turn to Him to be forgiven. And so you will never ever be forgiven if you live that life ignoring God. And so in this way, we don't categorize sins. The smallest thing that you do, which takes you away from this mark or this purpose, is a mortal sin. It could be computer games. It could be music. It could be anything. Nothing dramatic, just something that I place well above God, and then it becomes a mortal sin for me. If I refuse to give God even 5 minutes of my day, not delighting in Him, not loving Him, not enjoying His presence, of course I've missed the mark. But without being too dire, the opposite is actually true incredibly. Immediately after this passage, the passage that I mentioned in John about sin leading to death, he says this: "And we know that whoever has been born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him." Once again, we have a passage that goes against everything we know in the Bible. St. Paul says, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." But St. John here says that whoever has been born of God does not sin. It doesn't make any sense. But if we look at the definition of sin again, we can understand. If I live in God, if I live for God in all things, desiring to please Him, then even if I do a sin, I haven't missed the mark. Because even if I do a sin or a mistake, I live the right life. I repent, I confess, and I haven't missed the mark at all. In fact, I've hit the mark. I've hit the nail on the head. I've done a mistake, I've sinned, I've repented. That's a victory for me. So of course I don't sin in the correct definition of the term sin, which is missing the mark, because in everything I do, I desire to live for God. And so the mark is a life of repentance in God, and whenever I repent, I hit the mark. So in all of our lives, we don't actually sin according to the proper definition of the word. Now, how do we not sort of miss this mark? How do we try and hit this mark practically? Because what I've said makes sense, but it doesn't make sense. How do we do it practically? Practically speaking, the way to live for God and to live in Him is very simple. It's very difficult, but it's very simple. And that is that God has to be placed at the forefront of your mind at every point in your life. This doesn't mean that we don't forget about Him. Of course we do. But according to my capacity, according to my desire, I remember Him at every point in my life. Whatever I do in my life, God is my companion. If I'm suffering, He is my companion in my suffering. If I'm successful in work, He is with me in my success. Before I go to sleep, he is with me. When I wake up, he is on my mind. If God is at the forefront of your mind all the time, then the way you will live your life is that you will struggle against sin to the death. But even once you've sinned, it's over. You've moved on. Because you know that he is there, he's right next to you, and he's already forgiven you. We know that he has done all of these things when we read his Bible. How many of us open up our Bible once a day, once a week, once a month, once a year? Never. You will find yourself in one of those categories. How do you know who God is? How do you know what he's done for you? So then you can live for him and live in him. So all of these things are ways in which we live for God and live in God. It's not complicated. You don't have to change careers. You don't have to change the way you parent your kids. You don't have to change your personality. You don't have to be someone different than what you are. You have to stay exactly the same way you are right now, but put God at the forefront of your mind. If you do that, then you will never sin. You will never miss the mark, because all your life you'll be living for that purpose. So let's start from today to place God there in my mind at every point in my life, whether I'm at work or at school, whether I'm at home with the kids, whether I'm successful, whether I'm a failure, whether I'm joyful, whether I'm sad. Have God with me in all of those processes, and you will never ever miss the mark. And glory be to God.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart, and we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.